Dear brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from him who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. A lesson from Acts chapter 16. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Instantly, all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted with a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, because we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling in front of Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and everyone in his home. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Without delay, he and all his family were baptized. Then he brought Paul and Silas into his house and set food before them. He rejoiced because he and his whole household had come to believe in God. This is the word of God. Dear friends, no one ever said that the Christian faith is safe. It was one of the coolest feelings. My vicar year happened to be in Orange County, Southern California, and I got a chance three rounds to teach new believers, newcomers to our church, through a Bible information class. And in one of these classes, I had said something that I think was pretty important, and all of a sudden, the floor started to rumble and roll. It's a tremor, which isn't too uncommon. And if you look out the windows, sometimes you can see telephone poles kind of bumping up and down. It was one of those for a few seconds, and then it was over. One of the coolest moments in ministry, like God was punctuating something that I said with some special California punctuation. And that family ended up joining the church. But let's think about what is the real miracle there. I wouldn't call the earthquake safe, but probably wasn't the most dangerous experience in the world. It was a cool experience for a Midwesterner, not having grown up with all of that. But the fact of the matter is, when it comes to God's word, a word that can cause earthquakes through prayers and hymns, really ultimately due to the power of God. You know, it's not about magic spells. This isn't superstition. God's word isn't safe. I see some puzzled looks out there. But it's true. I mean, for instance, what brought Paul and Silas into that prison? Do you know what led to their capture, to their prison walls that evening? It was for speaking the word of God and casting out a demon. See, because they had just arrived on the scene in Philippi, in a city in the ancient world, and this young woman was calling after them, a demon-possessed woman was shouting after them, and so they turned around and cast the demon out. Now, why would that be a problem? Why would that be dangerous? It's because she was a slave, and her slave owners were making a profit off of her fortune-telling She's a fortune teller by the power of that wicked spirit. So now they lost their source of income. So they started a rabble and had Paul and Silas thrown into prison there in Philippi. I'm telling you, singing the Christian faith is not safe. But let me also tell you that singing the Christian faith opens doors. Some pretty obvious doors in our text, the prison doors, but also a couple of hidden doors. And I think what might not seem as supernatural, if you live in like California or some Mediterranean place, somewhere near a fault line, it might not be too supernatural to experience an earthquake. Maybe that just happened by coincidence because Paul and Silas, that's just what they do. They sing hymns and pray prayers. So maybe that wasn't too uncommon or unusual. They also got themselves thrown into prison a lot simply for preaching the name of Jesus Christ. But what happened in this earthquake? Wouldn't consider an earthquake safe, especially an earthquake that opens up doors, unlocks prison doors. I'm not sure how dramatic this was, if it shook those doors off the frame. But how about the next part, where their shackles were loosened and their hands and legs were free? They're in the stocks. These were probably pretty uncomfortable handcuffs, less uncomfortable than we normally think. More uncomfortable, less comfortable than we normally think. They might have been sitting on the ground uncomfortably with their legs in the stocks. Would probably be a pretty good guess. In a circular prison with sort of the jailer in the middle, with his little station in the middle, and sort of in an underground prison with all the prison cells around him. So you can kind of get a little bit of a visual what a prison would have probably looked like back in those days. Now that doesn't seem very safe if the very shackles tying your hands and feet together are broken and your doors fall off so you can walk out. But what did God do? He preserved everyone's life. No one was harmed or injured, and perhaps that was as much of a miracle as the earthquake. Because Christian singing and the Christian faith opens doors. As it turns out, God's word can open doors just as much as it can protect human beings. Because God promises to protect us, not only soul for an eternity, but also body here on earth. God knows how to safeguard us. God knows how to protect us. God knows how to show us himself as one worth trusting. He's done it over and over again, even as he's commanded us to sing a new song. I'm not really sure if they were singing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I'm not sure if they were singing, "I will not fear the thousands who surround me." I'm not sure if they were singing, "The mighty Lord is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress." I'm not sure if they were singing, "Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid." I'm not sure if they were singing, "Happy the people the Lord has chosen to be his own." But I would guess that they were singing something from the Psalms, the hymn book of the Old Testament. A lot of the same songs that you and I have been singing week in, week out. And it makes changes. It changes things, those truths about God. Because I do know the prisoners overheard them, and they were really listening. And I also know that God was listening because he acted for them. He punctuated their hymns and prayers with a special Mediterranean punctuation, a miraculous earthquake that didn't just shake the prison walls and the ground, and the doors and the shackles, but it shook the jailer to his very heart, that little hidden door. You might say, well, nothing's so awful as this earthquake. That was the worst thing that happened. But I'll tell you what was the worst thing that happened. This earthquake ruined a man's life. the life of the jailer. Because as he looked around, as the walls were shaking and the doors were opening, he figured for sure his goose was cooked. What was the punishment for letting prisoners free? Almost certain death. And so the customary way out of this, the way people would have normally thought of this, in the ancient world, be in control of your own life. Don't be afraid of death. Do it on your own terms. Was to, as I like to translate it, do himself in. Was to take his own life with his own sword. To the ancients, that would have been perfectly understandable. Ruined life, he would get what he deserved one way or another, probably better by his own hand. And that hidden door was just a shambles, the hidden door of his heart. Because he figured he was in for it. But that's what God's powerful miracles do. Some of his most powerful sermons are life ruiners. Just think about the 10 plagues. Just think about any devils or disasters in the Bible. It ruins lives. Shakes people to their very core to know they're not in control. They can't do anything to save themselves. They can't assist God in preserving their own life. Not when the walls are rocking and you're fully and completely in the claw of death. And what's worse is that when you look around and you see why things are out of control, you could trace it all back to human error. You can trace it all back to sin. If you trust in a perfect God, you know a perfect God created a world to be perfect, and God saw it was very good. Everything that he created from day one to day six, perfect. No flaws. So what happened? Well, human beings, like this jailer, yes, even like Paul and Silas, like you and I, we sinned. Adam and Eve brought sin into the world, our first parents, and it afflicts each and every one of us. And due to sin, even nature is quaking. Even the world around us is affected. And so we have discomforting things, disquieting things. We have earthquakes. We have other natural disasters like hurricanes and tornadoes. We haven't been talking about those too much lately, but I mean, would it be a scary prediction to say a tornado is coming, a hurricane is coming, another pandemic is coming? We have all of these things that afflict us. And why is that? It's when this hidden heart is shaken to the very core and realizes that it's because of my sin that God's sermon has done his work. Because God's sermon of law is supposed to do that. And that's a really good thing. Because at that moment, the most powerful miracle takes place. It's the most powerful miracle in this text. When the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? He's at the end of the line. He can't be helped. He probably knows it's his own fault that things have gotten this way. Because he's asking a law question, expecting a law answer. But instead of a law answer, God brings through that hidden door the most important thing that you and I could ever hear. It's the good news. It's the gospel. Paul and Silas say, not, well, I've got a whole list of things for you to do. They say, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. You and your whole household. That's what Christian faith comes from, is from the good news. When our hearts are void of all control and ability to help ourselves and our own personal human merits to assist ourselves, and when our hearts are devoid of any assistance from within ourselves, then there's room for Jesus to enter in. When we know about our sins, when the law has done its work, it's gospel time. It's good news time. It's time for that Christian faith, as sung in everything we've done in church leading up till now, and the things that we're about to do, Holy Communion, remembering our baptisms when we're told the Lord bless you and keep you, that's God's work. Not our work anymore. Our work has been chased out. It's time for God to work. And he does. He says through his servants, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. This is how God opens doors. And then we see another person singing and praying. Okay, we don't see the word singing again, but we see a word rejoicing. I think that implies a lot of singing and a lot of shouting and a lot of thought. By the end of the text, it's coming from the jailer because he's got a new life. And a new life in Christ means living in Christ. And I'll show you just how. I have a few examples of how he lives for Christ. For one, he invited his household members to hear the gospel. He wanted everyone he loved in his household, all of his children, maybe had children, wife, maybe he had aunts and uncles, grandparents, parents, brothers, sisters, anyone who could have been in this household, servants, from infant to elderly, he wanted them to hear the gospel. So he brought them to hear the gospel. Then he washed Paul and Silas' wounds. Then he and his whole household were washed of their sins in holy baptism. Notice he didn't make them wait. It was time. In that very hour, without delay, he had them baptized. And finally, it would seem the singing wasn't over because the jailer rejoiced. The singing of the Christian faith opens doors. It causes more rejoicing. This is what James said. If is any one of you in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. This is what Paul says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. We are told to sing. And it opens doors. So don't let anyone tell you not to sing. We might need to change the way we sing. We might need to consider our health and, you know, science and incorporate that into our lives and the way that we do things at church as we have. But don't ever let anyone tell you not to sing for fear of some kind of danger. Because singing the Christian faith has always been dangerous. The last earthquake I felt was Easter of 2010. My little brother came out to visit, and we were on the road. And if you're familiar with earthquakes, if you're on in a car on cushy tires with air in them, you tend not to feel the earthquake. We got back from a friend to a friend's house we were visiting, and he said, "Did you feel the earthquake?" And we had no idea because we weren't standing on solid ground. But that's the thing about the gospel. If you're standing firmly on it, you feel it. Because it's not safe. It's liable to quake up your whole heart, break a sinner open, and fill you with the Holy Spirit. That's what singing the Christian faith can do. In Jesus' name, amen.